grateful for that. Thankful for those that prayed for the teenagers. We had just an absolutely great time. And we had 9 teenagers that went with us, myself and Miss Beverly. And just had a wonderful time with them Monday night. And we got there Monday night. And the place where we stayed had a small lake where we could go fishing. And we went fishing. And then Miss Beverly fed us. And then Tuesday, and then we had a service that night. And then the kids stayed outside till about 10, playing spotlight, and they had a fire pit. It was just a beautiful time, wonderful time together with the teenagers. And I pray that they grew, not physically, but spiritually. Miss Beverly fed us very well over the past couple days, and just so thankful for our young people. They give me hope. God gives me hope, but seeing young people that have a desire to serve the Lord and have a desire to at least try to do right. I mean, my goodness, look at the temptations that they have to go through today and the things that are thrown at them today, things we never had to deal with when we were growing up. And boy, things are just thrown at them all the time. And I'm just so thankful for them. You pray for our young people, and I know you do. I know you do without a doubt. And but let's just continue to do that. Judges chapter number 6. We began, oh my, this was probably almost a year ago, really, we began to just sporadically look at a series, and we asked the question, what kind of men and women do our homes, and not just our homes, but what kind of men and women are our homes and nation in desperate need of? And we began, and we haven't even really looked, I think we've only preached one message along the lines of the women and what kind of women our homes and our nation are in desperate need of. But we preached several messages beginning back in 2019 and then at the beginning of this year. But with things that have gone on this year, we kind of switched our attention a little bit. But I wanted to come back tonight, and we may come back for the next few weeks and revisit this thought about what kind of men are our homes and nation in desperate need of. We looked, and I just want to review real quickly, and then we'll move into Judges chapter 6 tonight. We said, first of all, that our nation, our homes, are in desperate need of a man who seeks God. And we looked at the man Josiah. Josiah was a young man who sought God. By the way, the Bible says that he sought God in the days of his youth. Not when he got older, but in the days of his youth, the Bible said. We said that we need a man who is valiant for God. And we looked at some of David's mighty men there in 2 Samuel 23. We said that our nation and our homes are in desperate need of a man who instructs toward God. He instructs his family. He instructs his children. He instructs all those that he has influence on. He instructs them toward God. And we looked at Hebrews chapter 12 and Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We said that we need men who will not take no for an answer. And we looked at Moses when Pharaoh said, Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, look, let my people go. We're going to go into the wilderness. We're going to go 3 days journey and we're going to sacrifice. We're going to worship God in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, no. What are you going to take or who's going to go? And he said, well, everything and everybody, we're all going to go. We're going to worship God. We're going to go 3 days journey. And Pharaoh said, well, why don't you just take the men? And Moses said, no, everybody's going. And then he said, well, why don't you just take a few of your cattle? And he said, no, all of us are going, everything we own. And eventually, when all was said and done, Moses came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh told him, he said, you'll see my face no more. And Moses said, that's fine. He said, but we're not going to leave a hoof left behind. We're not going to leave a hoof. We're not going to leave a single cow. We're not going to leave a single hoof in Egypt. We're all going to worship God. And so we said we need men who will not take no for an answer. Really, we need men who won't compromise. Moses said, we're going to take everybody. We're going to take everything. We're not leaving our kids in Egypt. We're not leaving our cattle in Egypt. We're not leaving our wives in Egypt. We're taking everything, 3 days journey, and we're going to go worship. We said that our homes and our nation are in desperate need of a man who is known by God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 18 that God knew Abraham. He knew what kind of a man he was. And the Bible says he knew that he would be a man that would direct his family right. that He would direct them in judgment and justice. A man who is known by God. We said that we need men who love like Christ, Ephesians 5:25. We said that we need men who are faithful to Christ. We looked a little bit at the life of Joseph. We said we need men who love the brethren. We spoke about that Sunday night, and we saw that in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. We said that we need men who have a vision to build, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah had a vision. Now that vision came from God. It wasn't a self-proclaimed vision. It was a vision from God. But he had a vision to build. We said that we need men who embrace their God-given masculinity. 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, King David is dying. He's getting ready to leave. And he brings his son Solomon in, and he says, Solomon, he tells him many things. First and foremost, he tells him to follow God's word. But one of the things that David tells Solomon in 1 Kings 2 is simply this, Solomon, show yourself a man. Solomon, act like a man. Solomon, be a man. Solomon, lead like a man. Solomon, love God like a man. Solomon, love God's word and be a godly man. We need men who will embrace their God-given masculinity. And then the last message we preached, we said that we need men who will honor. We look at 1 Peter 3:7, who will honor their wives. Who will honor their wives. The Bible says there in 1 Peter 3:7, it says that he is to dwell with her according to what? According to what? Knowledge. He's to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. And he is to give her a place of honor. And so we need men who will honor. Look, this world is filled with men who dishonor their wives. This world is filled with men who speak harshly to their wives, who demean their wives. We have enough of those men. We need men who will love like Christ, Ephesians 5:25, and then who will honor the position of motherhood and wifehood, and who will honor that position. And tonight, I want us to look here in Judges chapter number 6, and I want us to begin in verse number 25. Verse number 25. Brother Chris, would you mind getting me a little water? Would you do that, please? Thank you so much. Judges chapter 6, verse number 25. We're talking about the man Gideon tonight. And really, Gideon takes, really covers chapters 6 and 7 and 8. We're only going to look at a small portion tonight here in chapter 6. And let's begin in verse number 25. And the Bible says, it came to pass the same night. Now, a little context. The angel of the Lord has come to Gideon. Gideon's going to be the next judge. Remember the book of Judges? There's this cycle. The nation of Israel, they sin. God allows them to go into judgment and captivity. And then after that, thank you so much. Is that a cough drop? That's what I need. After that, they repent. They cry out to God. And God gives them deliverance. And specifically, He gives them a judge. Well, that's where we're at here. Gideon's going to be the next judge. An angel of the Lord comes to him and calls him a mighty man of valor. Gideon doesn't think he's a mighty man of valor in verse number 12. And really the way he was acting and carrying himself, we might not think he was a mighty man of valor, but he absolutely was. And we find that out later in the story of Gideon. And let's begin in verse number 25. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. The Bible says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, the same night that the angel of the Lord came, he said, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. Now notice that. What did he do? He obeyed. But notice the rest of the verse. And so it was because he feared. Now, he's a mighty man of valor. But the Bible says, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now tonight, I'm not here to say whether Gideon should have done it in broad daylight or not. He didn't. He did it at night. The Bible says, because he feared his father's house, because he feared the men of the city. Notice verse 28. The Bible says that he did it by night. Verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down. Now, by the way, again, a grove in the Old Testament was always most of the time went along with a false idol, with a false god. It always spoke of false worship. When you see that word grove, and whenever they talk about tearing down the groves, it always speaks of false worship. They were worshiping other gods other than Jehovah. And by the way, we know that very clearly here because they had an altar to Baal. The Bible's very clear in verse 28. That's what Gideon had pulled down and cast down. And the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, now he's talking about Gideon, he called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Tonight, in the few moments that we have left tonight, I want us to see Gideon. And as we think about the thought, what kind of men do our homes and nation need today? What kind of man are our homes and nation in desperate need of? I want to submit to us tonight that they are in desperate need of a man who will obey even when he's afraid. They're in desperate need of a man who will obey even when he's afraid. And that's who Gideon was tonight, at least in this little section of the life of Gideon. He was a man who obeyed even when he was afraid. Let's pray and ask God to help tonight. And I'm going to give us three statements about his obedience tonight. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to us tonight. Because here's the truth. Every single one of us have fears sometimes. Now, please remember, the Bible says that God hath not given us what? The spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So when that fear comes, it's not of God. I would say the vast majority of the times, it's because of our flesh, if not every time. When the fear comes, it's because of flesh. Okay? When that fear comes, we still need to obey, because that fear does not come from God. God hath not, 2 Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what the Bible tells us. And so when that fear comes and when the flesh comes and says, "You know what, you better not do that," then you know what we need to do? We just need to obey. Not the flesh, but we need to obey what God's Word says. What we know God's Word says, we need to simply obey it. So let's pray, ask God to help, and let me give us three thoughts here tonight, three truths that we find in these eight verses tonight. Father, we sure do love You tonight. We're so grateful for Your goodness. Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to come during the middle of the week, and Father, just to kind of take a big sigh, a big deep breath, and Father, just relax And Father, just rest in your word tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to give full attention to what your word has to say to us tonight. Father, I pray that you would teach us and help us. Father, fear does come. It doesn't come from you, other than the reverential fear that your word talks about. We should fear you as the righteous judge. We know that, but we're talking about that fear that comes from the flesh. That anxiety, if you will, that fear that just grips us. And many times it binds us. By the way, a fear that has gripped our nation right now and is gripping our nation and is even gripping many Christians right now. Father, that fear doesn't come from you. And so, Lord, when that fear does come and when the devil tempts us, when our flesh tempts us to be afraid, may we be like Gideon and simply obey. Just continue to do or simply do and follow through with what you've told us to do, even though there may be some fear there. So, Father, help us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the young people. I thank you for the children and the teenagers that are here tonight. I pray that your word would penetrate their hearts tonight. I pray that tonight would just be another opportunity for the good seed of your word to be placed into those hearts. Father, if there's a young person here tonight that doesn't know Christ, that has never been born again, that has never had the blood of Christ applied to their lives, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. Father, if there would be an adult in this auditorium tonight that has never been saved, that has never had their sins forgiven and washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. Father, help us. We sure need you. We acknowledge that tonight. Father, I thank you for the time that you gave us with our teenagers over these past couple of days, my wife and I. Lord, I thank you for the sweet time that we had with them, the time to get into your word and teach and try to encourage and help them. I thank you just for the spirit that they have. And Father, they're not perfect. Father, we know that. And Father, they're bombarded with temptation every day. Father, may you give them the courage and the boldness, even if they have to stand alone, Father, to do what your word says. Father, please help. And please help us in here tonight. Teach us as only you can. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, Gideon obeyed. Gideon obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. Gideon obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. You say, Pastor, I don't know that I see that. Look at verse 27 again, if you would. This altar of Baal that they pulled down, that God told Gideon to take the bullock and take it and pull down this altar, whose altar of Baal was it? It was his father's. It was his father. So it's very obvious from the text that his father was worshiping at the altar of Baal. And so here comes God and he tells Gideon, I want you, not only do I want you to pull that altar down, I want you to take your dad's bullocks. You're going to use all of your dad's stuff. I want you to take, in verse number 25, he said, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal. Take that bullock, tie a rope around, however he did it, put a winch on it, put a chain on it, however, and you pull that altar down. And then he said, verse 25, and cut down the grove that is by it. Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, right there where the angel of the Lord had come and dealt with Gideon about being the next judge. He said, right here in this place, the ordered place, you take the second bullock and you offer it for a burnt. First of all, you build an altar to God, to Jehovah, and then you take that second bullock and you offer a burnt sacrifice. Notice this, with the wood of the grove. Tear all that stuff down that's being used for false gods and you use it for the one and only God. Take the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down, and you give God, you offer God a burnt sacrifice. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. He obeyed. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Gideon obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. And by the way, not just his father's disobedience, but the disobedience of an entire generation. An entire generation. Again, there was that cycle. They would get right with God. They would fall into sin, and God would allow them to be delivered and allow them to go into captivity, and they would repent. They would realize, okay, this has happened because of our sin. They would repent. God would send a deliverer. He would send a judge. The judge would come and deliver them from their oppressors, if you will. In this case, it was the Midianites. Gideon is going to deliver them from the Midianites. And so God is going to send Gideon to deliver them. But here we have a whole generation who is disobeying God, who is worshiping at the altar of Baal. And God comes to Gideon and he said, Gideon, I want you to go pull down your father's altar. Now that would be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Now see, here's the truth. Many of us don't understand that. Because, and I say many of us, I think there would probably be several that do understand it tonight. But many of us don't understand it because we grew up in a Christian home. Okay, and so we never had to necessarily go against what our fathers believed. Look, I grew up in a home where my dad believed the Word of God, where my dad believed that salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing added, nothing taken away. I grew up in a home where my dad lived by the Word of God and he taught us the Word of God. He wasn't perfect, just like his kids weren't perfect and aren't perfect, but a dad who loved the Word of God, and I never had to go against my father to do that which was right, because he did that which was right from the Word of God. And see, I don't understand what it took for someone like Brother Ted to come out of the Mormon religion. That was a big deal, wasn't it? Lost a lot of family over that, didn't you? We said, now he understands this. He understands the fear and the trepidation of saying, hey, you know what, I'm getting ready to make a decision to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The rest of my family doesn't believe that. The rest of my family believes in the nonsense of the Mormon religion and all of the intricacies that they believe, that Jesus Christ and the devil were brothers, just one of many things they believe. Because he understands a little better. Because by God's grace, God saved him out of a false religion. And here's Gideon, who God comes and he says, you need to get out of that false religion. Your father is in a false religion. You need to tear down that altar and do that which is right. And see, tonight, Gideon obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. See, look, we don't have to make the same mistakes that our fathers make. And by the way, our children don't have to make the same mistakes we made, do they? No, because very simply, we just need to obey what God's Word says. And if I, as a father, am doing something against God's Word, I hope and pray that my boys have enough faith and courage to do it different, to do it right. You see, Gideon obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. And the point, the truth, the principle that we find there, look, even if everybody else is doing it wrong, let's do it right. Look, even if the rest of the world is going to put some pressure on you because of what you believe and how you live and what you say and what you do according to the Word of God, even if the rest of the world is going to put pressure on you, we still need to do that which is right. Even when the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil comes and puts pressure and says, look, you don't want to stand alone on this issue. And God says, you won't be standing alone, I'll stand with you. Hey, Gideon, if you'll go pull that down, you're not going to be standing alone. I'll stand with you. And by the way, notice, look at verse number 28. And when the men of the city, it wasn't just Joash, it wasn't just Gideon's father. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Notice what the men of the city say. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? Who did that? Who pulled down that altar of Baal? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Now, apparently somebody saw them, or maybe it was one of, verse number 27, maybe it was one of the 10 men that went with Gideon. Maybe they told on him. Maybe they put a little pressure on them. Hey, who did this? Well, it was Gideon. Verse 30, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by. And I love Joash's response. Now, Joash had been worshiping a false god. But I love his response. It's almost as if Joash knew all along what I'm doing is wrong. It's almost as if all along the way, Joash knew, you know what? I ought not be worshiping Baal. I ought to get rid of this altar. I ought not be following along with everybody else in the city. I ought not be doing what they do. Because when it came down to it, and when the altar was torn down, Joash was okay with it. Because notice what he said. It's almost like the Lord smote him. It's almost like he came to his senses. He says in verse 31, and Joash said to all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Joash is saying, look, if Baal is who you say he is, if he's the great God that you say he is, can't he take care of himself? If he's as powerful as you think he is, then can't he fight for himself? That's what he says here. He says, will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Hey, if Baal is a god, and if he's powerful, then let him plead for himself. He can do it. Because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Look tonight, Gideon obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. We don't have to follow what somebody else has done if it's wrong. If it's wrong. If it's against God's word, and the world, the flesh, and the devil will put pressure on you and will put pressure on you to give in what you believe regarding the Word of God. Look, we talk about it many, many times. The world, the flesh, and the devil thinks that the biblical way of training children is absolutely crazy, don't they? What is the biblical way to train children? Many, many aspects, many elements of it. But the biblical way to train children is through discipline and correction and instruction. That's what we talked about when we said that our nation and our homes need a man who will instruct toward God. Hebrews 12 talks about the discipline part, and Deuteronomy 6 talks about the instruction part. Hebrews 12 talks about how we discipline and how it is profitable for both, the one that disciplines and the one being disciplined. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about the instruction in the Word of God that we're to give our children. That's what we need today. But the world, the flesh, and the devil thinks that is absolutely crazy. Okay, so who are we going to give in to? Are we going to give in to the fear that the world, the flesh, and the devil brings on us? That the flesh comes and gives us fear and says, you know what? Your family's going to think you're crazy. Your community's going to think you're crazy. This world's going to think you're crazy if you live like that. Are we going to give in to that, or are we going to obey? You see, Gideon was a man who obeyed even when he was afraid. Hey, I'm going against my dad. Think about that for a moment. He's going against his dad. But in Gideon's heart, he knew that what he was doing was right because it came from God. The directions, the instructions came from God. And so that leads me to number two. Number one, he obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. Number two, he obeyed by following the Lord's directions. That's simple. That's really elementary. He obeyed by following. How did he obey? By following the Lord's direction. When your kids obey, how do they obey? When they follow your direction. Now, by the way, let me just put this in here. With action and attitude. Action is the obedience, honor is the attitude. There needs to be both. Sometimes kids will obey in their actions, but their attitude is terrible. They don't honor when they obey. There must be both, the action and the attitude. Hey, an attitude needs to be dealt with just as much as disobedience. An attitude of, because honestly, in their heart, they have a heart of disobedience. Now, they're going to go through the motions and they're going to obey. They're going to take the trash out. They're going to clean their room. They're going to do whatever mom and dad says in action, but their heart is not right. Their attitude's not right. They mumble underneath their breath when they walk away. That's the same thing. That's disobedience. It was yesterday morning in our devotions. The devotion was simply about the power of choice. That God gives us a choice. We spoke about Ruth and Orpah in the book of Ruth and how powerful our choices are. And the wonderful thing is God gives us a free will. Isn't that great? But sometimes we think, man, I wish God would just make all my decisions for me. And well, He does in the Bible, but He gives us the free will whether we choose to obey Him or not, doesn't He? He gives us a free choice or the free will to choose. And we've mentioned it many, many times, and I'm thankful our teenagers were able to give me the words last night, or yesterday morning. But we always say decisions determine what? Direction, and direction determines destination. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. Ruth and Orpah both made decisions which led them in a direction which ended in a destination. Okay, Ruth made a decision that had ramifications that have been felt all throughout human history. Because from her and from her husband Boaz, they had a little boy named Obed. Obed had a little boy named Jesse, and Jesse had a little boy named who? David. Okay, see, choices matter. And Ruth made a decision to go be with Naomi, to stay with Naomi. And by the way, I believe she did it because she wanted to be with Naomi's God. And by the way, Ruth tells us that. She wanted to follow Naomi's God. Orpah went her own way. She stayed in Moab. We don't know anything else about Orpah. You see, decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. We have a choice. He obeyed by following the Lord's direction. Directions, that's what the Bible says in verse number 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. By the way, every little detail. Do you notice what he says here? Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. Every little detail that God had given Gideon brought it to fruition exactly the way God told him. Every detail. Look, you're to take that bullock, you're to pull down the altar of Baal, you're to cut down the grove, you're to take that wood and use it in the altar that you're going to build to God. You're going to use it for the sacrifice, for the fire, for the wood. You're going to take that second bullock, you're going to put it on the altar, you're going to sacrifice it to Jehovah God. And the Bible says He did all of that. Even though there was some fear there because he was going against his dad. Gideon obeyed even when he was afraid. He obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. He obeyed by following the Lord's directions. And really, if you get something tonight, this is what I want us to get. Sometimes the world, the flesh, and the devil cause us to fear. We just still need to obey. We just still need to obey. And by the way, I'll say this, it's high time. We have a lot of Christians that are still in fear about the virus. And I get that. I get it. But it's high time we start obeying God instead of being fearful. It really is. When the world, the flesh, and the devil bring fear upon us, we just need to obey. We need to obey. By the way, I read a great, just a little section from Scott Pauley this week. And he was talking about, he's been in numerous churches over the past 3 or 4 months after everything's kind of come back open, and churches, those churches that closed down or had to close down or whatever the case was, he was able to be in them. And he made the comment, he said, I see two things. He said, I see the pressure on pastors who have such a desire for their people to come back. He said, but the second thing I see, he said, those people that aren't coming back, he said, they probably never will. And he said, you know what? He said, you know what I see in churches all across America? He said, I'm seeing God do a purging and a pruning work in churches all across America. Now, as a pastor, that's hard for me because I want everybody back. I want everybody back. But you know what? God does prune and purge sometimes. And he made this statement. I thought this was really good. He said, what is being revealed is simply what was there all the time. That's a tough statement, but it's true. He said, what's being revealed in the hearts of individuals who say, you know what, I'm just not going back. He said, what's being revealed is just what was there all along. And I don't know that that's true with everybody. I think there are exceptions to that. But fear is what we're talking about tonight. When fear comes, what we need to do is just obey. Just obey. Because fear doesn't come from God. It comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about people being cautious. We've been through this for 6 or 7 months. But I think we're at a point where even if a person is still a little fearful, they can still come and still be very cautious. Still think they can. We need to pray for those people. Until they tell me they're not coming back, I'm going to pray that they'll come back. And if they don't, and God's pruning and purging, then that's fine. We'll come out better on the other end. But, man, I'm going to pray that they come back until they tell me otherwise. Until they say, Pastor, I'm not coming back anymore. We'll pray for them because I want them here. I want them here, and I want God to still use them. We obey. Gideon obeyed by following the Lord's directions. And you know what? Sometimes that's just what we have to do. We just have to get up. Some days you don't have the zeal and the energy that you have on other days, do you? You know what you have to do? Just obey. Just obey. I don't have the energy I had yesterday. I don't have the zeal that I felt yesterday. But you know what? I'm still a child of the King. I'm still a servant of the King. I need to get up and obey today. Just need to get up and do what's right today. And that's what Gideon did. He obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. He obeyed by following the Lord's directions. And then thirdly, he obeyed through faith in his deity. He obeyed through faith in his deity. You think about the Old Testament. Everybody had a deity. And by the way, many of them had hundreds of deities, did they not? They had hundreds of gods. Some people today, you talk to missionaries come through, and there are some places, some countries today, where people have thousands of deities of gods, little g gods. Can you imagine that? How do you keep all that straight? Well, I've got a god for good weather that's going to help my garden grow, and then I've got a god for this, and I've got a god for this blessing, and a god for this blessing. Really? You got to pray to 1,000 gods? Many Christians have trouble praying to one God. We don't even do that as much as we should. Let me say it this way. I don't even do that as much as I should. What about 1,000 gods? And Gideon, in verses 31 and 32, here's Joash, his father, speaking. He obeyed, Gideon obeyed, very simply, through faith in his deity, the one and only deity, by the way. Amen? Jehovah God. capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord. He obeyed through faith in His God, in His deity. In verses 31 and 32, we already spent just a little time on it earlier, but notice what Joash, his father, says again. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him?" By the way, if God comes in your Christian life and knocks on your heart's door and says, "Hey, that God, that little G God that you have, you need to get rid of it." If He's as really as important as we think He is, He'll fight for Himself. But see, here's the thing, He can't. He can't fight for Himself. If God comes along and knocks on our heart's door and He says, "Hey, that TV program you've been watching, that's wicked. You need to stop watching that." But, if He's really as powerful as we think He is, He'll fight for Himself. He obeyed through faith in His deity. When the fear comes, what do? We obey, and we do it by faith. What do we say? I've said this so many times recently, and we've said it to the kids so many times. We can trust and obey. Why? Why can we trust and obey? Why can I trust? By the way, why can I trust God's Word, as we mentioned earlier, about this matter of raising children? Why can I trust it, and why can I obey it? Because it's God's Word, because it's true, because He's been proved. Here's the thing, because He always keeps His promises. Why can I trust it? Why can I obey it? We spoke Sunday, I believe it was Sunday night, or maybe even Sunday morning, we spoke about tithing. That was one of our illustrations. How is it that I can trust God with my money and I can give a tenth, or I can give 20%, or how much ever we give? How is it that we can do that and we can trust and obey? Because God is always faithful. He always keeps His promises. He said in Malachi 3:10, He said, "Bring ye in the tithes into the storehouses, and see if I and prove me," He says, "and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings." Now, by the way, we don't put money in the offering plate so that we can see the blessings rain from heaven. That's not why we do it. We do it just to be obedient. But He's promised that He'll do it. He said, "Prove me." He obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. Look, if everybody else is doing it wrong, we don't have to fall in line. Even if it's an important relative, we don't have to fall in line. Hey, praise God tonight that Brother Ted said, "You know what, there came a day," and I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but I'm thankful there came a time in his life where he said, "You know what, I'm not going to follow my family to hell. Because what they believe is wrong. I'm not going to follow my family like a Pied Piper into hell. Because they don't believe in the finished work, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone." Praise God for that tonight. He obeyed in spite of his father's disobedience. He obeyed simply by following the Lord's direction. "Pastor, when the fear comes, what do? Obey the Lord. If you have kids and you're trying to discipline, and a family member comes along and says, "Hey, you're still doing that. We don't do that in the year 2020 anymore." Lord, what do? Obey the Lord. Obey His Word. He obeyed simply through faith in His deity, in His God. In verse 32, the Bible says, "Therefore on that day he called him Gideon, Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Because here's the truth. They knew Baal couldn't plead against him, because Baal had no power. Baal had no ears, no mouth, no. He couldn't do anything for himself. They had to carry him around. Let Baal plead with Gideon. Let Baal come and do something to Gideon. Hey, you want to kill my son? Verse 30, bring out thy son that he may die. You want to kill my son? Let Baal take care of it if he's so powerful. And he simply obeyed by faith in his deity. You know what our nation needs right now? Is we need men who will obey even when we're afraid. Who will obey even when the world, the flesh, and the devil come and put pressure on us and cause us to fear. We need to obey. Amen? Amen. We need to go. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed tonight. So thankful that you're here tonight, and look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Amen. Hey, if you can come Saturday for soul winning, That'll be great. Brother Colton and I have been going out. And if you want to go out, let me know and get a partner, and I'll give you some contacts so that you can go out. But I'll see you Sunday. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you tonight. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness. Father, help us to obey when the fear comes. Lord, when the fear comes about finances, and we say, Lord, I don't have enough money to tithe, or I don't have enough money to offer this month. Father, help us just to obey. Help us just to obey. Because that fear doesn't come from you. It comes from a reliance upon ourselves. It comes from a reliance on how much money we have in the bank at that time, instead of trusting you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray that for every man in here tonight, you would help us to be men. And I pray the same for the ladies as well, that we would be men and women who obey even when we're afraid, even when this world puts pressure on us, not to follow through with what your word says. Help us to obey. Father, give us a safe trip as we go to our homes tonight. Father, I pray that you bring us back together Sunday. Lord, those that might be able to come back Saturday for soul winning, I pray that you bring us all out. I pray that we'd have a good day and some good contacts. Father, I pray that you'd lead us to homes where individuals need to be saved. Father, where if they were to die at this moment, Father, they would die lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd help. Lord, we love you. Please give us safety. Lord, help us to get these children home safely tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You are dismissed.